that's with us via online or later on the website as well. We are here worshiping the Lord in West Boylston at Freedom Worship Center. I want to thank the few and the brave that have showed up today. We are well within the state mandated guidelines, in case you're wondering about that. And I do have a word from the Lord for all of us. And those of you who are watching us right now, give a shout out to Bob in California. Everyone who is online, we can see that you're there and you're with us. And that is a great thing. And we're thankful for that kind of technology in these days in which we live. So I'm taking my message this morning from Deuteronomy chapter 1. I'm going to read verse 8 and then go right over to verse 19 from the book of Deuteronomy. Verse 8, "See, I have placed the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to them and their descendants after them." Then reading from verse 19, Moses speaking. "Then we set out from Horeb and went through all the great and terrible wilderness, which you saw on the way to the hill country of the Amorites, just as the Lord our God had commanded us, and we came to Kadesh Barnea. And I said to you, you have come to the hill country of the Amorites, which the Lord our God is about to give you. See, the Lord your God has placed the land before you. Go up and take possession, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has spoken to you. Do not fear or be dismayed." Then all of you approached me and said, "Let us send men before us, that they may search out the land for us and bring back to us word of the way by which we should go up, and the cities which we shall enter." And the thing pleased me, and I took 12 of the men, one man for each tribe. And they turned and went up into the hill country and came to the valley of Eshcol and spied it out. Then they took some of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down to us. And they brought us back a report and said, "It is a good land, which the Lord our God is about to give us. Yet you weren't willing to go up, but rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. And you grumbled in your tents and said, 'Because the Lord hates us, he has brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us.' Where can we go up? Our brethren have made our hearts melt, saying, 'The people are bigger and taller than we. The cities are large and fortified to heaven. And besides, we saw the sons of Anakim there.' Then I said to you, 'Do not be shocked, nor fear them. The Lord your God, who goes before you, will himself fight on your behalf, just as he did for you in Egypt before your eyes, and in the wilderness, where you saw how the Lord your God carried you, just as a man carries his son, in all the way which you have walked until you came to this place. But for all of us, but for all of this, you did not trust the Lord your God, who goes before you on your way to seek out a place for you to encamp in fire by night and cloud by day, to show you the way in which you should go. Then the Lord heard the sound of your words, and he was angry and took an oath, saying, 'Not one of these men, this evil generation, shall see the good land which I swore to give your fathers, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it. To him and to his sons I will give the land on which he has set foot, because he has followed me fully." Now, obviously, this setting here is Moses speaking to the nation of Israel. They are about to cross the Jordan River and enter in to what God has promised. I think for us as a church and for the body of Christ, this is a word also. We are poised to enter a new season. In fact, I would even say we're in that new season. And it's up to us to cross over, as the word says, and cross into and possess that which the Lord has already provided for us individually, for us as a church, and for the body of Christ at large. Now, I was talking to a young person earlier this week, a millennial, I guess you would say, and they said, in our conversation, which obviously was centered around COVID-19, which is consuming the media and just having a major impact on the life of everyone around the world, they were commenting how life has changed due to this outbreak or this pandemic or whatever you choose to call it. And this person said, "I don't think I've ever experienced anything like this in my lifetime." Well, many of you who are within my hearing today, you've experienced some things in your lifetime. Among those things that we made it through was the blizzard of 78. And I remember that very well, because I was out plowing snow and my truck broke down. And that was it. No more plowing after that point. But it wasn't just the snow that I remember. I remember the resultant changes in that and 9/11. Many of us are still well aware of the resultant changes in our nation and in the world related to security and airports and such. And even Y2K, which wasn't all that, actually 20 years ago, but seems like just yesterday. And there were things like gas shortages, food shortages, going into the market, and there was no bread, there was no milk. And it's reminiscent of that. If you do venture out, if you do find yourself brave enough to go out to a supermarket, you'll be shocked to find the behavior of people now. They're hoarding things. They're so fearful that the thing that amazes me most is they're stockpiling toilet paper. I'm like, what is that all about? But we will get through this current challenge as well. You and I, the body of Christ, this church, my family, your family. And we will emerge better, stronger, wiser, and more prepared for the next challenge, because there will be a next challenge. You can be sure of it. And God wants us to be prepared for this next challenge in these uncertain times in which we live. It will require sacrifice, cooperation, and an attitude of hope and faith for the future if we're going to rise above this gloom, this atmosphere of fear that we find everywhere we go. Jeremiah 29:11 says, For I know, God speaking, he says, the plans I have for you. For welfare, not for calamity, to give us a future and a hope. So How do we grin and bear it? That'd be one way of saying it. How do we keep a positive attitude when many are talking only negative, wherever you turn, whether it's the media or people we know? Everything is negative, and you can't avoid it. It's a consuming thing, that fear and negativity. People are fearful, and they're exhibiting less than unselfish and loving behavior, if we're actually honest about it. I call this message today, Walking in Victory, or Navigating the Season of Uncertainty. Because we certainly are finding ourselves with things we counted on, things in our life that we took for granted. We can't take those things for granted anymore, even our health. And it doesn't matter if you have a medical mask, doesn't matter if you have anything. If God's not going to protect you, then he's not going to. But I believe that he is going to protect me and you as well. So how do we walk in victory? Five things here from these verses in Deuteronomy chapter 1. First thing, from verse 8 and verse 21, we walk with determination. It says determination is defined as an act of deciding definitely and firmly, or making up your mind, refusing to be discouraged, to keep pressing forward despite obstacles or difficulties, an all-in attitude, or I-can-do attitude. That's what determination, that word determination, represents. This is what the scripture says, twice in the Psalms, but Psalm 60, verse 12 says, through God we shall do valiantly, for it is he who will tread down. He will deal with our obstacles. He will deal with the strategy of the enemy to take us down and take us out. Through God we shall do valiantly. And so we see there in Deuteronomy verse, chapter 1, verse 8, it says, see, I have placed the land before you, go in and possess it. Now, God never said there wouldn't be challenges, there wouldn't be obstacles, there wouldn't be testing or difficulty. But he did say he would be with you. He did say you could count on him for help, that he would empower you and help you to prevail by his grace and with his power. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. The Lord speaking to Paul when he didn't found himself in a tight spot, said, my grace is sufficient for you. For power, my power, the power of Almighty God, is perfected in your weakness, my weakness. It's another verse in the New Testament, Philippians 4, verse 13. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And, you know, when we look at the challenges that we're faced with on a daily basis now, many people are afraid to even leave their own homes for fear. When we look at the challenges that we're faced with, we have to remember that God is for us, God is with us. Verse 21 there in our text, Deuteronomy 1, God has placed the land before you. Go up or move forward. I would paraphrase that. Go up or move forward. Take possession. And I came upon a quote when I was looking up the word determination online from a website called needencouragement.com. And this is what it said. This was their rendering of Romans 8:37. I declare I am full of power, strength, and determination. You know, that has to be our profession and our confession in these challenging days that we live. I don't know if you know that this saying is attributed to Joseph P. Kennedy, the patriarch of the Kennedy clan, but this is what he said. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. That was Joseph P. Kennedy. I didn't know that until yesterday. But Romans 8:37 says, but in all these things, and I would even add at all times, in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer or prevail through him who loved us and continues to love us. To my amazement, he continues to love me, even when I fall short, even when I miss the mark, even when I show that I'm not perfect. He still loves me and he still loves you. So we need to keep going, drawing on his grace and strength and power when the going gets tough. We will make it. And one thing we have to learn also, I believe, is that how much we need to depend on one another during these times. No man is an island, as the expression goes. And don't forget, just because many couldn't or decided not to come to join with us in worship today, don't forget that their daily struggles are continuing. Their daily challenges are still going on. So we need to keep in touch. We need to keep sending those messages of love. And we're thinking of you. How are you doing? And so forth. It's not possible in all cases. I am heartbroken. I can't no longer visit my sister in a nursing home because I'm forbidden to do so. And I can't even call her because I'm not her health proxy. So I can't even talk to her on the phone. And so all I can do is pray. All I can do is reach out in the spirit so that she doesn't feel like one of the things she always says to me when I'm leaving from when I visit her is, don't forget me. Please don't forget me. And so don't, you know, act and behave in such a way, whether it's family, friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, don't let that attitude or that worry or those words, don't forget me, don't let that become a reality just because we're consumed with all the things and all the changes that we find ourselves faced with as a result of this pandemic virus. So walk with determination. Secondly, walk with faith. From verses 28 in Deuteronomy chapter 1. And it says a number of things here. Moses summarizing what the 12 men that went out to spy the land came back. Some came with a bad report. And Moses summarized it this way. Our brethren have made our hearts melt. What that is saying is it's caused us to lose hope. It's caused us to have a crisis in our faith. We cannot allow these difficult times, these things we're having to face. We don't have a choice. We are faced with these things right now. But we We do have a choice whether we lose faith or we lose hope. So we need to overcome discouragement by speaking and acting with faith. You know that, and it even says that in Revelation 12:11, they overcame by the word of their testimony and by the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus Christ. And you know that when you speak with authority because you have the Spirit of the living God living and residing and operating in your mortal body. And when you speak words of faith, the atmosphere changes around you. You can change the atmosphere in a room, and you can feel that even in the natural, when people are being negative and when they're speaking negative things, you can feel like a heaviness come into the room. But the opposite is also true. When faith goes forward, when a positive report goes forward, it also cleanses and changes the atmosphere where we find ourselves. And I would even say to you, whose report would you believe this morning? You want to believe the media? Do you want to believe that we're headed, some say, for martial law? Some say that we're going to be barricaded in our homes. They've taken it to that extreme. Whose report, as a people of faith, whose report will we believe? I, for one, will believe the report of the Lord. This is another thing the people that went and spied out the land said. Again, from verse 28 there in our text, Deuteronomy 1. The enemy is bigger. The enemy is taller. They're more prepared. They have fortified cities. They're prepared. What chance do we have is what they were saying. Well, you have a whole lot of a chance when you have the Lord on your side. Even in the Psalms it says, if it had it not been for the Lord on our side, where would we be? So you and I are called to 2 Corinthians 5, verses 7 and 8, to walk by faith, not by sight. And then it says in verse 8, we are of good courage. You can be courageous, you can be bold when you're submitting to the Holy Spirit. You can speak to your circumstances. You can rise above your situation and the challenge when you ask God for his help and you enter into his power of that Holy Spirit that lives within you. 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we look not at things which are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal or temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal. And I would even paraphrase, they stand the test of time. God has proven himself. He's not only proven his faithfulness, but he's proven who he is and who he always will be on our behalf, on your behalf, when you are facing new challenges, new obstacles to overcome. So you need to believe what you say and say what you believe, according to the Word of God. You were created to walk in victory. He knew that. He created you even when you were just a tiny little seed in the womb. He knew he created you for a purpose and with purpose and with plans. And those plans included being victorious, overcoming whatever challenges God wills that you need to walk through. You need to believe what you say and say what you believe. You are called to be giant killers. That's how he said it to me. Trying times require walking with a faith that prevails. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory, assures us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Amplified renders that verse, making us conquerors through our Lord Jesus Christ. And if we want to go to one example in the scripture, I encourage you to study this, 1 Samuel 17. You may not know what's contained in that chapter, but it's the story of David and Goliath, where in the natural, it looked like he was a fool. But he spoke with faith. He spoke, no, this is not impossible. I believe, even though in the natural I don't have what it takes, in the spirit I do have what it takes. And that is true for you and I. We may not be the most gifted or the most talented, but when the Lord is on our side, we can do great and mighty things. You have to believe that, though, and you have to confess that. And doors will open, and doors will close as well. Number three, in walking in victory, walk with or walk in trust. Verses 30 and 31. Verse 30 says, the Lord your God, who goes before you, will himself fight on your behalf. I don't know about you, but that gives me faith and hope to know the Lord is in my corner. He's going to go before me. He's going to lead the way into a situation or an obstacle or something we might call an impossibility. And he's going to make a way where there seems to be no way. He goes before us in these challenging, uncertain times. Whatever the Lord wills for you to go through, you are never alone. You know, isn't that, even if we look at the temptation of Jesus in the Gospels, the enemy was trying to convince him, give it up, Jesus. But Jesus said a number of things, actually, but one thing he said was, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So you need to get that every day. You need to get the word of God in prayer, in worship, in reading the Bible, because that is your survival kit in these trying times. You need to know the word, and you need to speak it as well. And you can't speak it if you don't know it. Isaiah 52, verse 12, the end. For the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard. Just think of that. He leads the way, but you know, even in the military, they don't just look at what's ahead when they know there's an enemy. They also have someone assigned to cover the rear so that they don't get exposed to a sneak attack. And so sometimes we can get complacent. Sometimes we can become confident in ourselves and not in the Lord. And that's when we're liable to get blindsided. But the Lord is there. He's our rear guard. He's got us covered. That's what mercy and grace are all about, in spite of our shortcomings. We're never alone. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your steps or make your path straight. The second verse there from Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 31, it says, and in the wilderness, that which represents a place of darkness, uncertainty, dryness, barrenness, testing, the Lord your God carried you just as a father carries his son in all the way which you have walked. And I was remembering, and Kathy would remember this also, when my son was just a toddler and I was in Bible school, and so I was gone a better part of the day in classes and whatnot. And when I would come home, my young son would run and get the backpack because he wanted to go for a walk with his dad. And we actually still have some pictures of him, and he was so peaceful. He was taking everything in. He felt safe. He felt secure because he was with his father. And even though I was gone a better part of the day due to classroom commitment, and this is what this scripture is saying, he walks with us. He carries us just like a father carries a son. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, speaking of Mary, it's quoting Isaiah 7, verse 14, and Isaiah 8, verse 10 for your study. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. We have to remember that truth. God with us. God for us. God always there for us. And it's up to us. He's a covenant-keeping God, but it's up to us to keep our part of the covenant by talking with him. He knows how we feel anyway. He knows what's on our mind anyway. But there's something. There's a dynamic that gets released when we tell him we're uncertain, we're feeling uneasy by what we're seeing, what people are saying. And just one word in the Spirit will just calm us right down. Spirit to spirit. Scripture says deep calls unto deep. And God wants us to live in that place of the deep so that we're constantly in communication with him. Psalms 37:5, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he will do it. You know, I don't think it matters how many years you've walked with the Lord, or how many years you've committed your life to the Lord. I know for myself there's always an attitude that wants to rise up that I can do it myself. I can do it. That's not a good attitude, I assure you. And God wants to root that out from us. He wants us to commit our way to him and trust him and honor him, and he will come through on our behalf, on your behalf. He will meet the challenge that you have before you in your life. It doesn't have to be the coronavirus. It could be anything. It could be some of the resultant things as a result of this virus. Many people have to work from home. Many people can't work. And they're worried about how am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to get food? Some are even worried about toilet paper. It just boggles the mind. God is for us. He wants us to trust Him. And we need to trust Him. Hebrews 4:16. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We are in a time of need. And we always are in a time of need where we need Him. And it's up to us to turn to Him. It's up to us to talk to Him. It's up to us to spend time in His presence, in His Word, worshiping Him, honoring Him, acknowledging Him, not for what He does, but for who He is. It's so, so important in these times that we find ourselves. Number 4, in walking in victory. Walk in confidence. From verse 33, Deuteronomy 1, verse 33. Who goes before you on your way to seek out a place for you to encamp, fire by night, cloud by day, to show you the way in which you should go. You are at a loss today? Some of you that are hearing me speak this morning, are you at a loss? Do you don't know where to turn? You don't know where to go? I do. His name is Jesus. We need to turn to Him. We need to go to Him. We need to cry out to the Father and tap into the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to walk in confidence. What I see in that he's seeking out a place to encamp, it's a place of security and stability. God wants to settle us down. He wants us to not fall prey to fear, but to submit to Him, trust in Him, have faith in Him, to walk in trust, walk in faith, walk in confidence. Because He goes before us to seek out a place. Fire by night, cloud by day. He's got you covered to show you the way in which you should go. Another scripture that I don't have in my notes, from Joshua. We have not gone this way before. Whoever thought we'd find ourselves, things were going so well. The economy was booming. The signs were everything was going up, 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 and now all of a sudden, boom, the stock market has plunged 7,000 points in a matter of not even 2 weeks. No one could have predicted that. So if your security was in your retirement investments, you can still be confident. You can still be secure because He is still on the throne. He still has you covered. Your dependence can't be on your savings or your 401k or your retirement plan or your current employment. It has to be on Him. Your confidence needs to be on Him. He will show you the way in which you should go. It's speaking of being led and guided by the Holy Spirit. Philippians 1:6, I am confident that He who began a good work in you, God has begun a good work in you. He who began it will perform it. He will bring it to completion. It may seem like things are on hold. It may seem like nothing's happening at times, but God is just smiling God is just waiting for us to turn, to confess our confidence, our reliance, our trust in Him and in Him alone. It says in Proverbs 28:1, the righteous are bold as a lion. If you've ever watched some of these nature videos, if you've ever watched a lion, oh my goodness, what a powerful creature. And they're not going to be deterred once they make up their mind to go after something. And it says, the righteous are bold as a lion. That's you. That's me. I don't feel that way sometimes, do you? But that's the Lord's confession over you and over your life and over your calling and over your future in Him. You're bold as a lion. Galatians 5:16, walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. You won't be dictated to by what you see. You won't be influenced by the media. You won't be influenced by fear. You'll be influenced by Him. You'll be in communication with Him. You will be getting your next step from Him. You'll be getting direction and your confidence from Him. So, those, for all who are being led by the Spirit, these are sons of God. Romans 8:14. When you realize you're a son, when you understand that that love that He has for you, it's not ever going to change. That plan He has for you, He is going to see it through. That provision that you see missing at times, it's there. You need to call it forth. You need to trust Him for it. You need to rely on Him. Walk confidently forward. Sometimes the release doesn't come until we take a step. That could be healing, that could be finances, it could be anything in life. When once we say we're committed, I have confidence in You, Lord, I trust You, I have faith, that obstacle vanishes. That provision is unveiled. God reveals, that's what revelation is. Something is covered. And God uncovers it. It was there all along, but you didn't see it. And that's why I so appreciate the song that Chris Tomlin sings. He didn't write it, but Good, Good Father talks about that's who He is, and I'm loved by Him. And that's who He is, and I'm loved by Him. That's who I am. Finding our identity in Christ, finding our confidence and our reference point in Jesus Christ. That's what this life, of this walk of faith is all about. Not being swayed by what we see. Walking by faith, not by sight. And finally, number 5 in walking in victory is walk with commitment. So lacking these days, even in the body of Christ, so lacking. People are afraid to commit. They're unwilling to commit to something. Walk with commitment, verse 36, Deuteronomy chapter 1. It says there, Caleb will see the promised land. Because, why? He has followed the Lord fully. He was fully committed. He followed through. He refused to see any negative. He said, it's a good land. It's a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord has spoken. He wasn't swayed by the other 10 who brought a bad report back to Moses. And there are plenty these days that are bringing bad reports. No one's to blame. It's how it is. You can't blame the president. You can't blame the governor. People are doing the best they can with the challenge of this pandemic that we find ourselves facing. So we have to walk with commitment, like Caleb did. He followed the Lord fully. And part of that walking with commitment is being representatives of the gospel. 2 Corinthians 5:19, he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Or literally, he has placed that word of reconciliation, and the Bible even calls us agents of reconciliation. Just as Christ reconciled the world to the Father, we are called to be agents of reconciliation as his representatives on the earth. Those we work with, those who we sit next to in class, those who we meet in the supermarket and so forth, the gas station, wherever we go. We are Christ's representatives, and he's committed to us the gospel word, the message of the cross, that there is salvation in no one else. There is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Acts chapter 4, 12, I believe. That's that verse I just quoted. That through Jesus we were made righteous or in right standing with the Father. No one else could do that. Nothing else could do that. There is no other name under heaven by which we can continually be saved. It's not just talking about being born again. It's not just talking about a point in time where you give your life to Christ. It's talking about every day needing that salvation, that power of his blood, that power of the word and message of the cross. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on my behalf, on your behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ, that we might become everything God envisioned before we were even created. He had a vision of you. He had a vision of me. He had a plan for me. He has a plan for you. You are called to do and say certain things. God planned that. God anointed that. And we enter into that as we commit our life, as we commit our daily walk with him and trust him, have faith in him, determined that we're going to do it even when we don't feel like doing it, especially when we don't feel like doing it. To stay the course. We need to stay the course and not waver in unbelief. Romans 4:20. Galatians 6:9. In due time we shall reap if we do not become weary. I would say to you this morning, your circumstances will bow to the name of Jesus. This virus will bow to the name of Jesus. Every knee in heaven and under heaven will bow to Jesus. And we just need to stay the course. We just need to keep going. We just need to keep speaking and acting in faith. And God will back us up because God is with us. He will help us to walk in victory in these turbulent times. Thanks be to God. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would encourage you to worship at home today during the week, to pray, to get yourself dig into the Word. Start acting like you're a Christ follower in a deeper measure. Because we have extra time, we have time where we didn't have before to be home. We have activities that don't occupy our time like they would in a normal routine. So we have this time to dedicate to Him. We have this time to commit to Him. We have this time to honor Him. And I assure you, and this is the song I was thinking of, I mentioned it a number of times in the last month, called Sea of Victory by Elevation Worship. And I'll close with some of these lyrics. The weapon may be formed, but it won't prosper. When the darkness falls, it won't prevail, because the God I serve knows only how to triumph. My God will never fail. I'm going to see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. There's power in the mighty name of Jesus. Every war He wages, He will win. And I'm not backing down from any giant, because I know how the story ends. What the enemy meant for evil, God will turn it to good. And I leave you with that this morning. God bless you. I cannot wait. My heart is aching to see all of you. Can't wait till we can meet together again, and it's going to be just an unbelievable time of celebration and worship. God bless you.